Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you feed us and nourish us spiritually. We ask that through your Spirit, you would help us to both understand and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. In putting together this teaching series of co-workers in Christ, I wanted to affirm the role an example of women in the mission of the church, and to highlight five women as witnesses, disciples, teachers, and leaders, and really as equal co-workers in service of Jesus. They are Mary Magdalene, Phoebe, Lydia, Priscilla, and Mary of Bethany. Last week, Cain spoke on Mary, and today I'm focusing on Phoebe and Junior. After Mission Sunday next week, you'll hear from Teresa, Elizabeth, and Kate. So just in case you're interested to know, not all men preaching this series on women. We're co-workers, after all, in this ministry of teaching the Bible. Some here may think women teaching and leading in ministry is not a live issue today. However, there are still churches and parachurch organisations which actively don't allow women to teach and lead over men. Some churches teach that for a woman to lead and teach in the church is even a sin. While I can sympathise with the intent to be faithful to Scripture, I believe you can allow women in leadership and preaching and be faithful to Scripture. And it grieves me that there are many competent women who love the Lord, who are being turned away from serving in the church. Before I go on, I want to say also that you may have a different understanding on what I'll share, and I'll just say that's okay. I'm glad you can reflect with me and think deeper about this scripture. One of the strong concerns in the letter to the Romans is the emphasis on unity within the body of Christ, whether you're Jew or Gentile, serving using different gifts, whether you're weak or strong in matters of faith, there is a need to receive each other as members of one body in the gospel. And so chapter 16 puts into practice Paul's concern for each other with an extended series of greetings to different people. Now, these are not so much Paul greeting or saying hello to particular people, but Paul calling out those he knows as individuals worthy of listening to. The Roman church at the time was likely made up of quite a number of house churches, all different, and not everyone would have known each other. So as Paul addresses the Roman church, this section is a way of Paul saying, pay attention and trust these people. Greet these people for me. When I move to a new town or enter a new network of people, it's so helpful, isn't it, to have the name of a person you can trust. Like a great GP who takes care with their patients, or an excellent dentist that charges reasonably, or a specialist that has dealt successfully with the unique problem that you might have. Paul here is introducing, acknowledging, and commending gospel workers who he knows or knows about and is celebrating their ministry. If we look at the list, it's remarkable that out of Paul's 27 co-workers, that 11 are women and 9 are named. And not only named, but a number are given a glowing reference by Paul. We've got Phoebe, which we'll talk about in a moment, Priscilla and Aquila, co-workers in Christ, Mary, who worked very hard for you, Andronicus and Junior, outstanding among the apostles, Narcissus, Persis, dear friend, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa, whose women work hard in the Lord, Rufus's mother, who's been like a mother to me, and so on. Anthea McCall, who many of you may have known, wrote this. The number of women and the recognition of Paul gives them shows how female co-workers were considered part of the team in gospel ministry. Co-workers were participants in Paul's preaching and teaching and in church planting and pastoring. There is nothing about the way he speaks of female co-workers which gives any impression that their work was any different to the males. In an earlier letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, Paul himself finishes the letter by calling on the Thessalonians to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Here in Romans 16, Paul acknowledges women who work hard for the Lord, and these are Mary, Persis, Tryphena, and Tryphosa. Hard work, as you know, demonstrates that they cared about Jesus. They cared about the gospel ministry. It acknowledges that they are all in, boots and all, and they want to get the job done. Of course, this aligns with my own experience in all kinds of ministry contexts. There are always women who are working hard, serving not only in ministry, but often juggling this with other life's demands. Paul goes out of his way to mention that Priscilla and Aquila are co-workers, in addition to Urbanus. Clearly, along with the use of brothers and sisters, Paul's wanting to communicate this kind of family and unity working for the Lord. And verses 17 to 18, he goes on to say, watch out for those who cause divisions. So he really wants the Roman churches to seek unity. So behind every great flourishing church, we could say, there are men and women working together. But before I go on to Phoebe, I need to mention Junior. I just thought, when I first was putting it together, I thought, let's talk about Phoebe, but Junior is worth talking about. So verse 7, we read, greet Andronicus and Junior, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they are in Christ before I was. This is a remarkable verse where Paul gives a glowing acknowledgement of their ministry. And so let me give you two reasons why Junior is remarkable. First is that we have mention of a woman apostle. Not, of course, as part of the 12 apostles who are with Jesus and his ministry enlisted in Acts 1. Not what we call apostles, perhaps with a capital A, but part of a broader group of apostles who the risen Jesus sent out to preach the gospel, teach about Christ, and plant churches. So Junior's among apostles included like Paul, Barnabas, James, Apollos, Timothy, and so on. Now, some have seen the mention of a woman apostle as a mistake. Surely this is a mistake, a scribal error. Surely Paul meant Junius, a male apostle. However, early commentators up to the 13th century understood Junior as a woman apostle. It was only later they began translating Junior as Junius. And while Junius is grammatically possible, there are no examples of the name Junius being used in the first century, but plenty of Junior. Some also object on the basis that the translation from the Greek should read, they are known to the apostles, rather than outstanding among the apostles. This is a legitimate translation, and the NRSV has well known to the apostles. However, I'm with Nijay Gupta, a New Testament scholar, who argues that, given that Junior predates Paul's coming to faith and that Junior and Andronicus were Jewish, they are quite likely to be witnesses to the risen Christ and sent out by Jesus. So they are who they are, and they're they could be fit into the context of being sent out then. And also, the church fathers themselves took for granted that Junia was an apostle. So even if you agree with me, it's hard to ignore that there are solid grounds for concluding that Junia was a woman apostle. The second reason why Junia is remarkable, even outstanding, is that Junia endured prison for the gospel. From our own modern context, we might think of someone in prison. Surely they'll be fed, exercised, and medically taken care of if need be. However, prison back under Roman rule was a less common event and terrible for those who endured it. Normally, if you did something wrong, you were more likely to be beaten and then perhaps released. It'd need to be a significant crime to be held under house arrest and worth the time of a magistrate, such as the example we have in Acts with Paul causing a civil disturbance. And prison was a ghastly experience, lack of fresh air, water and food, vulnerable to disease, blankets, lack of blankets, and to survive you would need support from relatives, and suicide was common. So Junia was in prison long enough to be praised, but short enough to still be alive. And her imprisonment is a rare event. The only other record we have of a woman in prison in that period is Perpetua, who was a woman martyr in the 3rd century. I can imagine back in the 1st century, a woman was not worth imprisonment and the time of a magistrate. So we can expect that Junia must have, with Paul, caused a big civil disturbance and worth the magistrate's time. So Junia is worthy of acknowledgement, remarkable for 2 big reasons. One is that she is a woman apostle, and the other is that she endured prison. Which leads me to Phoebe. We only have a small amount to go on when it comes to knowing Phoebe. And you heard a brief mention in Romans, I think is another important contribution to biblical grounding for women in all levels of ministry. Let's have a look at verses 1 and 2. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Kenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. So what can we learn? Well, first is that she was the trusted letter carrier and interpreter of Romans. Phoebe from the name is most likely a Gentile woman. It's generally accepted that she was the letter carrier of Romans, and we've found early Greek manuscripts of Romans which add a statement that it was delivered by Phoebe. And usually in a letter of the day was a commendation of the letter carrier to request that you would show them hospitality and put them up. There was also no postal service back then, so as you can imagine, to get something from one place to another, you needed to hire someone or get a trusted friend who was going to take it there for you. So our best guess is that the letter was written by Paul while he was in Corinth, because verse 23, Gaius is mentioned, and we find a convert of Paul's called Gaius also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1:14. That Phoebe was a letter carrier is further confirmed because Phoebe's commendation comes at the beginning of the other named individuals who belong to the Roman church. We also know that Phoebe was highly trusted by Paul. You know that Romans is a really big letter and theologically significant. It's about 30 times the length of a normal letter of the day. And of course, this makes it a very expensive letter. Randolph Richards, recently estimated the cost of papyri and a scribe and the labour for a letter about the size of Romans would have cost about $2,300 in today's money. It would have taken Paul perhaps around 6 months to draft. Letter carriers were considered agents of the sender. For such an important and sophisticated letter, there would have been a need for interpretation and the carrier, someone who was trusted and had spent time with the author. We can imagine she was trained by Paul to read it out loud and answer questions about the letter. So there's strong evidence both within the text and from the first century context to suggest that Phoebe was played more of a significant function for the teaching of Romans. And for this reason, Phoebe is considered one of the first interpreters of Romans, and that was the view of Origen. Paul could have sent other qualified people from Corinth, but he chose Phoebe to do this. So Phoebe read and explained the scripture and doctrine, which is a preacher in modern terms. Now, Phoebe is described by Paul as our sister deacon of the church of Kenchreae. If you were to open your NIV or NRSV translation, you'd find the word deacon. But in some other translations, such as the New King James Version, you'll find servant. And often if you're looking and comparing translations, when you've got some difference, then it's a flag to kind of perhaps dig deeper as to what's going on in the Greek. But in some other translation, so why is this? As you can imagine, there's lots of discussion over this. The Greek word diakonos here can be translated as servant or minister or deacon. But unfortunately, it's not always consistent how it is translated. So for example, it's used by Paul of himself in reference to preaching and teaching the gospel in Colossians 1:23. This is the gospel that you've heard and has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant, which is what the NIV has. And in the ESV, it has become a minister. It's used by Paul of Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. And the NIV has minister, the NRSV has servant. And it's used by Paul of Phoebe here. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Kenchreae. It's only by the 4th century that we have evidence of an official job description of a deacon. In 1 Timothy 3, Paul discusses a deacon's character, which covers men and women. So the general consensus is that in Paul's day, we don't have an official deacon role like we know it, but an emerging job description. So my take on it is that given the fact that Paul says of the church in Kenchreae that Phoebe was at least a ministry leader there and her role would have included teaching and leading others. But that's not all. In verse 2, it says, I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the prostatus of many people, including me. So prostatus is the Greek word used by Paul. It's been translated as helper, benefactor, patron, great help, or leader. So there's some diversity there. The first thing to know about prostatus is that this is its only use in the Bible. So for help, we need to consult a lexicon, which surveys then the kind of word usage in other Greek literature of the time. One of the normally reliable sources for getting a sense of that is a lexicon called the BDAG, and it has these possibilities. A woman in a supportive role, patron, and benefactor. BDAG lists examples, but Philip Payne, a linguist, has found they all refer to situations where there's oversight of others and do not refer to a woman in a supportive role, only a leader. So with the help of electronic manuscript databases, Payne found only limited instances of the feminine word prostatus to mean benefactor, but almost always found that it referred to someone in an officially recognised position of authority, like ruler, magistrate, or goddess. In Roman's context, you could say, as the NIV has it, that Phoebe is a benefactor with resources, generosity, so time and money in delivering the letter to Rome, and that would fit. But this does not have, it appears, any great support in other literature of the time. So in context of Romans 16 and Phoebe's role as letter carrier, it makes more sense to be leader of many, including Paul. Acts mentions Paul travelling to Kenchreae, where he had his hair cut off because of a vow in Acts 18:18, and where presumably Phoebe was a leader of the church there at the time. So where does that leave us? Paul's intent here is to honour Phoebe as a servant of the church, as a leader within the church, and to ensure the Roman churches show her hospitality and welcome her in the important task of explaining the contents of the letter to the Romans. This is so consistent with the picture elsewhere in Scripture, as we saw last week with Mary Magdalene, of men and women faithfully serving Christ. Paul is co-worker with Phoebe of Kenchreae and the apostles Andronicus and Junia and others. So as I finish, let me give you two applications from this exploration of the lives of Junia and Phoebe. The first is that we should, like Paul in Romans 16, work at acknowledging and commending those who work hard among us, no matter who they are. And so my encouragement to you this week is to find someone at church to give them an encouragement and honour them for the ministry they're doing. It could be someone in hospitality, it could be someone in the worship band, it could be someone on the Hope Food Drive doing great work there. It could be in any number of places. Find them, share what stands out to you, and tell them how much you appreciate their work, and share how their ministry points you to Jesus. Again, we've got another great floral display on my right. And one of the features is a cross in the middle. And this is really to help help us think about how the ministry of Phoebe and others point us to Christ. So as the cross of flowers in the church this morning do, find someone to encourage and point them encourage them in Christ. Second, continue to be active in welcoming and supporting the ministry of women alongside men. At St. Hilary's, we passionately believe that God calls both women and men into all levels of leadership and ministry. And God's church is best served where there are well-trained and capable women and men serving alongside each other. And that makes me very glad to be part of St. Hilary's. I don't believe we need to cut down men either in order to raise women up. But I feel like we need to both raise each other up and encourage each other up. And we will all benefit immensely as we live out and serve in our with what God has given us as co co-workers in Christ. So let me pray for us in that. Lord God, thank you for the example of those that Paul mentions in Romans 16. Thank you for the reminder that people of all in all ages who are following you are serving you. We just ask, Lord, that you would help us to serve you, but also be part of the work of encouraging others in their service. We thank you, Lord, for those that work hard among us. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us the energy and the ability to serve you well. In Jesus' name, amen.